Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to another edition of The Call, your favorite Baltimore Ravens podcast. And may I just say, how good is it to be a sports fan in Baltimore right now? We haven't had this feeling in years. I don't even think in my lifetime I've had this much excitement about baseball and football at the same time. Of course, joining me via Skype, we've got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, buddy. Sorry for the delay. I'm actually speechless, buddy. I don't know what to say.
Well, I know you've had a big week involved with both sports in Baltimore right now, baseball and football. You got to go to the Monday night game, and you got to go see the O's come back on a Wednesday night. Tell me what those atmospheres were like this week.
Oh, my God. If I can go the range of emotions of what we came off last week with the whole week we had up and down with the Orioles being tied for first, with Art Modell passing, and then now this. We got to see the Monday Night Opener, how emotional that was. I was there. I was a part of the action. I'm thankful you allowed me to get time to record this show for us because I didn't have a voice come Tuesday morning. I was hoarse. And then it actually got hoarse on Wednesday. The atmosphere is great. We had I think 23,000 fans on Wednesday night for the Orioles game. Of course, it was a packed house, 71,000 for the Ravens game, Monday Night Football. Oh, my God, we were tickled to death. I mean, we were even talking about during tailgate. I mean, how is baseball discussion during tailgate? But we were talking about it. It was a fun atmosphere. I got to mix it up with Bengals fans in the parking lot on Monday, and then I got to mix it up with the Orioles fans. We got to see the support for the – I mean, Brandon, it's an incredible, incredible experience being a fan and being part of the media here, and I like it. It's what I live for. It's been since 11 years old since I've seen this, and I have to actually go back, but I don't think the Ravens and the Orioles have ever been in first place together in their respective sports.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, this has been an amazing week. I love going to work and seeing Ravens jerseys on Fridays, but, I mean, I love seeing orange and Orioles stuff, too, in the office. I think that is awesome. But, you know, we're a Ravens podcast. You know, you said you got to go tailgating, and you mixed it up with some Bengals fan. Did you scare anybody? Because I saw the picture you tweeted on Monday, and you got red Raven eyes, and I opened that up, and it scared me a little bit.
Yeah, it's something I cooked up. A lot of people ask me why I don't do purple eyes, and because if we all know, the Raven eye is red in the logo, and it actually looks scarier, and I love that, and it's another part of my ensemble. Bengals fans loved it. They were spirited as well. I met up with a group in our lot. They were from Louisville, Kentucky. It was a strong contingent of Bengals fans down there. It was a whole big tailgate. They had a big flag that says you're in Bengals country. They were all decked out. Got to mix it up with these two girls. I saw the girl walk by. She actually had a tail, like a tiger tail, and little ears.
So I know what you were looking at.
I was definitely looking at that tail. Trust me. It was good to see the fans out there. They were very spirited. They were like, good luck, guys. And even the one Bengals fan was actually wearing an Orioles necklace because I saw the orange and black in there. And he actually is from here. He's an Orioles fan, but it was funny. He lost the bet. So he had to actually wear a Bengals jersey, but he had his Orioles necklace. And I don't know what bet he lost, but he said he lost the bet. So I felt bad for him, but hey, he was important. The energy was high, Brandon. It was very exciting. We were in our seats early to fly over. Michael Phelps came out of tunnel. What more can I say? The tribute to Art Modell. Everybody was emotional, including myself. I got emotional in the parking lot. I don't know if I tweeted the picture or not, but I did see at the tailgate lot where I was at, there was a sign that hung in the van, and it said, "We would not be tailgating if it wasn't for Art Modell." And I got choked up seeing that, and we got into talking probably about a half hour, and this is what it's about. The tailgate lot got full as the day went on, Brandon. It was great. I mean, it was packed. Nothing you can say, and I'm sure you can hear the crowd on TV.
Oh, I mean, it was insane hearing that crowd. It was great to hear Seven Nation Army, you know, throughout the game again. It was pretty cool. It was my mom's birthday, actually, last Monday, and I have a big inflatable TV screen that I set up in my backyard. So I set up a projector and this big movie screen, and I got to show the game on this big screen, and it was pretty cool because, you know, neighbors from, like, around the neighborhood started coming out and, like, standing by the fence and everything and watching the game that was going on in the backyard. So it really brings everybody together, and, man, what a game to watch. This was such a good game. There was a part of the game, I don't want to jump a couple quarters, but I need to start with this. They were talking about Joe Flacco passing later in the game, and they're like, why is he passing? We know they wanted to make a statement, but that statement's been made, and the statement is, the Ravens know what they're doing. The Ravens have got some gumption behind them. So to come out first game of the season and have the broadcasters even say, we get your point, you guys are good, I couldn't believe I heard that, because usually the Ravens are not in, like, that discussion of top teams. You hear the Patriots, or you hear whoever Peyton Manning's talking to. You don't hear the Ravens that much, but, man, what a statement the Ravens made this first game.
What a statement indeed, Brandon. And if you think back on our, I think, what, two, three podcasts ago, when we were talking about the Jacksonville game, and if this was a dress rehearsal to the season to come, look out. They look like they just picked up right where they left off against Jacksonville, and they just came out guns blazing. The defense wasn't really swarming as I thought. It took a little bit to get their footing under. The run defense was kind of concerned. But you're right. This offense, I was like, are you really serious? Am I seeing this right now? This is great. I mean, I didn't really – you know, it was kind of funny. I whacked my buddy in the face accidentally because I didn't even know Torrey Smith caught the first pass. I thought he dropped it, and I seen the crowd going nuts, and I'm like, wow, he actually caught that? It was a treat to see.
Man, what an offensive line. I mean, just let's talk about the guys that really, really got to show off this first game. Of course, Joe Flacco. There's no huddle offense. Man, they really showed what they could do, and he showed what he can do, and how he is as a leader. Amazing job by Joe Flacco. Torrey Smith, amazing. Anquan Boldin, I mean, the ball just came right to him. It was perfect. Dennis Pitta, you could definitely see the flow in between Flacco and Pitta and how close those guys are, and they are really good friends, you can tell. I mean, so many tools on this offensive line. It is just insane how much talent this team has right now.
Very much insane, but the talent, if we all stay healthy, I think it's going to be a great season. Great camaraderie from the team. We gelled together very well. Flacco's on point with his receivers. Like I said, it's almost hard to pick out a flaw in this game because it was just like, wow. Like, we even in the whole NFL weekend, we won by the largest margin of victory. I would have to go back and look. If I'm stats wrong, I'm sorry, but I think we scored the most points during the weekend. I mean, we might even be second or third. I know we were the biggest margin of victory, and it was just a statement. It was an all-around national TV. The world's looking at us. Look what we did. We showcased it. Now, and then after the pregame, the media was gushing. Flacco, is he elite? Yes, he's elite. No, he's not. It was just, you know, they were just talking about Flacco. I get so much to say, and look what honors it got him. Offensive player of the week. I could not say enough right there. I'm very excited.
Unbelievable. Let's talk about Joe Flacco just a little bit more, and then we'll move on to the defense. But at the end of the game, Joe Flacco got an interview. I don't know if you saw this because you were there, but this was on TV. He gets pulled over on the sideline for an interview, and they're bringing up all the stuff that he did. And they're like, the one pass to Anquan Boldin, and it did this, it did that. And she's asking him a question, and he was like, I don't remember what touchdown that was. And the broadcasters started laughing, and they're like, when you don't remember what play they're talking about because you had so many good plays, that shows you how good of a quarterback this guy is and how well the Ravens played. So, I mean, I feel stupid because I'm a part of a podcast and I have no words to express how good Joe Flacco played and how well that he did and how confident he was. I mean, it was just great to see that.
You're right. If anybody read the tweet I tweeted about the being an AFC Offensive Player of the Week, I said maturation right before our eyes. I mean, he grew up. He took full control of the offense. What I've been hearing, this is the kind of offense he ran in Delaware. He's very familiar with it, and I think it reminded me of what the Falcons do, and similar to Matt Ryan's passing style and all that. It reminded me of that explosive offense. And if we can do this week in and week out on a consistent basis and not do what we did last year, and this is what I'm worried about. We play so well like we did against Pittsburgh and New Orleans last year, and then we have a letdown against Tennessee. So it's kind of like, are we going to go up to Philly and throttle them, or are we going to? Is it going to be a close game? Again, we have to see that consistency. And you know, as well as I'm proud of them, I'm really not going to write home about it until I actually see the consistency. But hey, it's a great start. I'm very excited.
Me too. Let's switch over to the defense. You know, this Baltimore was always known as a defensive team, and they are still doing very well, but they're kind of being overshadowed a little bit by the offense that we have right now. But again, they played great. It was pretty flawless on the defense, and Courtney Upshaw got his first sack as an NFL player. That had to feel pretty good for him.
Yes, sir. It was great to see Upshaw, and my buddy didn't even know it, and I said, look, Courtney got his first sack. That was great to see an impact. Again, with Suggs being out, the rookie making immediate impact. I'm very impressed with that. The overall defense, you're right. We've been known for defense for years, and I think the NFL as a whole has been known for defense, and now you see the turn of tides where now it's the year of the pass. The offenses are going 20, 30, 40 points now. It's almost like a video game, like atmosphere. It's just like, let's see how many points we can put up this week and see if they can stop it. But there is, you know, there was concern about, you know, can the defense hold up? I was a little worried watching that game when it was getting – I predicted a close game. If you remember, I predicted 24-20.
Yep.
Boy, was I off. But I thought it'd be a close, contested division game, and it really wasn't. I thought it was going to be all defense, and with a couple touchdowns here and there. The defense's run defenses was concerned because Ben Jarvis Greenellis was finding the holes. He was plugging away 6, 7, 8 yards a carry at times, and especially that one goal line carry where it was fourth down, and they went for it, and he ran like 6 yards straight to the end zone. It was just like, are you kidding me? The old Ravens defense would just stuff them straight up. But, you know, this is a new era in Ravens football, new era in the NFL. And again, there was a lot of proud moments on the defense, especially my boy Ray Lewis. The boy just continues to get younger every day. I mean, how is this man 37 years old, and he posted a tie for the league in tackles? You know, he posted 14 tackles, tied with A.J. Hawk of the Green Bay Packers for the most tackles that weekend.
Wow.
That's insane. And that shows volumes that he shed the weight, and he's leading by example. You know, the two Ravens combined below him had 7 tackles each, and I think Webb was one of them. They combined for 14 tackles total, and that's 2 players below him. So he's leading by example in this defense. He's still number one. And how about Ed Reed?
Wow.
I mean, the best safety in the NFL continues to get better. He passed Rod Woodson, who won a ring here with us in 2000. He passed Rod Woodson for the most interception return yards all time. NFL record. The dude just keeps smashing records, and it's great to see.
Yeah, he did such a great job. He is a ball hawk. I mean, we all saw that ball coming. We saw Ed Reed there, and everybody knew he was going to catch that ball. And then he returned it for a touchdown. Ed Reed, you know, he's a guy that scares us a lot during the offseason and the postseason, saying, I don't know whether I'm going to come back or not. I don't know if I'm up for it, this, that, whatever. But the guy makes a statement when he needs to make a statement. And I think all of us, none of us were questioning whether or not, you know, Ed Reed was a good player anymore. But, I mean, he really just proved to everybody why he's a Raven and why he's so important to this team.
He's very vital, and I'm kind of glad he's back. Not that he left us, but I'm just kind of glad he's putting in the work. He's showing, you know, why he's allowed to do what he can do and jaw about a contract in the business end. Because, look, he's Ed Reed. He just set another record. You know, not that we owe him anything, but, I mean, hey, we hold the best safety in NFL, if not, you know, of all time, and depending on what the record books say. We should give him his due. You know, we don't want to do him a disservice, and I'm very proud of Ed. I'm very proud of Ray Lewis and the defense. These guys are continuing to set the example and set the precedent for our defense, saying, look, this is how it's done. And then it goes down the line, Reed, Pollard, and then with Terrell Suggs, Jamil McLean, and the rest of the guys on the line, Haloti Ngata and Courtney Upshaw and company. Like I said, I'm gushing because it was such a flawless game, almost perfectly flawless. It was just like there was a couple little bit pieces there and there, but overall, offense and defense put together. And look, and even special teams, Justin Tucker, 3 for 3. Billy Kundafu, we almost made him forget. Justin Tucker was almost like automatic.
Yeah, I mean, this really was really close to a flawless game. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but if you watch the one show that's on Comcast Sportsnet called One Winning Drive, they show a lot of stuff from the sidelines from each game each week. It's a very interesting show if you haven't seen it before, but it's called One Winning Drive. They had Ray Lewis on the sidelines, and they had video of him. I think he was talking to Terrence Cody, and he was talking about what an honor it was to play with Ed Reed. And it was a really touching moment because you got the guy who is the face of this team, really, and who's been here forever, and a guy that everybody loves and respects, whether or not they're a Ravens fan or not, just as a football fan. Everybody knows Ray Lewis and knows the amazing stuff that he has done around the league, in and out of football. But just to hear somebody like him talk about a teammate like that really, really shows you how much he loves this game and how much he loves his teammates, too. So that was... that was really great to see. You know, I also want to bring up the fact that a couple weeks ago we were talking about Kerry Williams and, you know, Jimmy Smith and whether or not they were pertinent to this team. I thought they had a good game on Monday.
The secondary really pulled together in the end, and they shut down the passing game. It was a little bit shaky in the start, but I think they made the adjustments in the second half, and they really came out and played well. I think A.J. Green was giving Jimmy Smith fits all night, and I was kind of worried about that. But he pulled strong. You know, Jimmy didn't really let him beat him too much. It was kind of like a lot of underneath stuff, and it was yards after catch that really burned us. But you're right. I wouldn't say as far as shut down corners, but it is progress, and especially in this AFC North and rest of the NFL, is when we play these teams that come into M&T Bank and we go on the road. I mean, we're playing high-powered offenses like New England, Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, San Diego Chargers that keep going on. We face a lot of Pro Bowl talent in the quarterback position and the wide receiver position. And the offenses, we just need to come together and stop these offenses. And I want to kind of tie everything together you just said and bring the light about Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. I don't know if anybody's watched it, but there was a piece the night after the game on ESPN. E60 did a feature on Ray Lewis. It was very powerful. I'm almost at a loss for words because I was glued to the television, probably didn't even blink. The man has a work ethic, and it burns deep within him. And there's a reason why. And this, I'm going to set up the soundbite real quick, but I found a soundbite of this E60 that his mother sets a stage, and he basically raised driven by his father. Many people don't know he had father issues back when he was a child, and the man's passion and his will comes from shattering his father's records. He wanted him erased from the record books, and I think that's what drives him until today. He wants to be the best ever at everything, and he's showing at 37 years old. He's setting an example for the young guys that are coming in, to the intermediate guys and then the veterans. And here's just take a listen to somebody that speaks volumes.
When you go to Capitol High School, Ray's father held every record there. And that boy's passion was, I don't want no memories of this man.
I was so pissed off, I said, I got it. I said, I got it. His name will never be remembered again. I'm finna go through these books, and I will train so hard that I will never stop till his name is erased. Ever.
Well, there you have it. Again, you know, you can hear it in Ray's voice. He's just passionate about this game. And like I said, from the get-go and from the eulogy he delivered at Modell's speech this past week to seeing him, how he acted on the sidelines, to him being by example and Ed Reed, it's showing in Flacco. Flacco's now taking the reins of the offense. I literally can talk all night about this game. It was great. But like I said, onward to week two. It was a great show, and if we keep this up, Brandon, it's going to be great for us. It's going to be really great. It's going to be a special season, and all cylinders going.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about week two. Week one, amazing. We're all happy for it. Week two, we're up in Philadelphia. We're up against the Eagles. We're up against the worst teams in all of sports. Worst fans in all of sports. You know, they boo Santa. They boo a guy who broke his neck.
Come on, who boos Santa? Brandon?
Exactly. I dressed up like Santa for the Christmas Eve game last year. No one booed me at the Ravens M&T Bank Stadium. Everybody was taking pictures with me. Not cool.
Yeah, if they're booing them, I mean, I guess Philly was a bunch of bad fans, huh?
Yeah, they all got cold that night, so you know that's how it works. Let's talk a little bit about this. If you watch, there's this great YouTube video that this guy does. It's called Goob Vision. This guy Goob, who works for I think it's called the Russell, it's changing names. It's Ravens 24/7 right now, but they're changing names pretty soon. He does a video every week talking about the game coming up. He posted one this week about the Eagles. Michael Vick, a guy who I don't respect, I don't like, he shouldn't be in the league. I'm not going to watch this game Sunday because I don't let this guy on my TV. But he threw four interceptions last week against the Cleveland Browns, and they barely beat the Browns. They beat the Browns by 1 point last week. He threw four interceptions, though, against the Browns. Joe Flacco, this is all Goob told us this, Joe Flacco has also thrown four interceptions against the Browns in his entire career. So Joe and Vic meet in that area in the fact that they've only thrown four interceptions against the Browns, who the Eagles went against last week. But, you know, Joe has kind of spread it out throughout his entire career, while Vic just focuses on one game to do that. I think this is going to show us a lot against this team. It's in Philadelphia. It's a very hostile area if you're from out of town and you're at the stadium. But I think our team has a really good chance here. I think that they showed what they can do last week against the Bengals, and the Eagles showed what they could do against the Browns, and it really wasn't that great.
You're right. I was actually watching that game on Sunday very closely, and not only for divisional purposes' sake, but that's our next opponent, and I did have fantasy implications. Vic is my fantasy quarterback in two leagues, so it was kind of hard pill to swallow seeing him do that, but it was kind of exciting because, you know what, he's the Ravens' next opponent, and if he does anything like that against this defense, he's going to end for a long afternoon in Philly. By the way, Brandon, I never knew that you felt so strong about Vic and him being back in the league. I mean, I have my own views on that. I mean, that'll make a good topic of discussion one of these times. I just never knew that. I never knew you felt like that.
Well, you know, I'm a huge, huge animal lover. You know, I'm not like PETA. I'm not going to throw, like, buckets of paint at people or anything like that. But I think what he did was despicable, and I think it's disgusting what he did. And, okay, I mean, this is just me talking here. I mean, this isn't, like, your viewpoint or anything at all. This is just me talking. You know, when you can say any, I've heard so many people tell me, because I haven't let this go, because I'm still sick of what he did to these dogs, and how some of these dogs are still in places and in rehabs trying to get over the trauma that this guy put all these dogs through, and how he murdered 8 dogs. But everyone's saying, well, he served his time, you got to let it go, he served his time, he went to jail for 2 years. The thing is, though, he also lied to the commissioner of the NFL, he lied to his coach, he lied to everybody saying, oh, I had no part of that, I didn't do any of that. Then he comes out and goes, all right, I did do that. If I were to lie to my boss, I would never, ever get my job back. That just wouldn't happen, especially about something like this. And the other thing is, he's never apologized. He said, oh, I'm sorry that I was a bad example, but, oh, it's where I came from. But when you're 22, 23, and you're throwing a dog against the ground or strangling a dog, you know, from a tree limb or something like that, and you know the dog is dying, pretty sure by 22, 23, you should know that's not a right way to do things. But, you know, the Ravens are up against Vic and the Eagles this week, so I'm hoping Haloti Ngata and I'm hoping Ray Lewis and Courtney Upshaw take this guy to the ground, and I'm hoping that they just slam him as hard as they can into the ground, because I just don't like him.
No, and you're entitled to that opinion. It's awesome to hear. You're very passionate about that stance. Me too. I'm a dog lover. Always will be. My first dog was named Raven after the team. She passed away 2 years ago. We got her in September 96. So me too. I have strong ties with the team and the dogs. It was kind of devastating. My viewpoint is, you know, kind of differs. I'm kind of the, you know, forgive and forget, you know, because people make mistakes kind of deal. But again, you're right. They probably will throw him down to the ground like a rag doll because he's injury prone. He probably will get hurt. I don't, his style of play. And speaking of his style of play, we do have a guy on our team that mimics his style of play and Tyrod Taylor. And I heard that the Ravens were using him in practice, Vic like, to practice against those schemes. And I like that very much. And he did came from the same school. He was compared to he's not as big as Michael Vick, but Tyrod Taylor provides the skill sets with the mobility and the agility that the defense can get a hard look at what they're up against.
Absolutely, and they're both graduates of Virginia Tech. They have that little bit of history there. Tyrod Taylor, I said this in the preseason, he does remind me a lot about Michael Vick because Michael Vick is a runner. He can throw the ball, he's good at that, but he's known for his speed. I think this is great that they use Tyrod Taylor in this way because it kind of gets the Ravens prepared for this running game that he has. So that's going to be very interesting to see. But the big thing is the Eagles also have they have a lot of injuries going on right now. And it's important players. I think DeSean Jackson is a big guy who I think he did practice this past week a little bit, but there's nothing like full on, so he might be like a game time decision, but there's a chance we might not see him. So Vic's not going to have some of his tools that he has normally this Sunday.
You're right. The injury list is growing in the NFL league-wide. I had the chance to listen to some of the injuries this week, not only from the Ravens-Eagles game, but elsewhere. It's a big, big laundry list after week one. And speaking of the Eagles-Ravens, you're right. DeSean Jackson is listed as questionable for Philly. And so is Jeremy Maclin, one of their all offensive receivers there. And he's a good tool for that offense. And it's going to be very huge if they're going to be down one or both of them. It's going to be advantage Ravens in that category. And this game features two of the top three running backs in the league, which is going to be very fun to watch on LeSean McCoy and Ray Rice and these offenses and what Joe Flacco and Mike Vick bring to the quarterback position and what our receivers can bring. This is going to be a very, very interesting game because it could be, I'm going to go ahead and put a score on the board. I'm going to predict a 24-10 Ravens win. I know back when I did predict this game as a loss in our schedule review back when the schedule came out in April. But now looking at it now, how the seasons have changed. Now we're at week two's doorstep. I'm actually going to predict this a win because the Eagles are kind of, it's kind of tough because how they played in Cleveland and how we played, it's going to be a big question is, are the Ravens are going to not duplicate what they did last year and have a letdown game, or are the Eagles going to play well in their home opener in front of their fans and get very passionate? But again, these injuries are going to tell. As far as the Ravens concerned, there is no major issues. I know that Ja Reed's going to be officially ruled out, which is okay because he's not technically a starter, but he provides depth. I'm okay with that. Reed was listed as questionable, but I'm pretty sure he's going to play. He's probably going to be a graded probable with that hamstring he pulled on that touchdown. Everything's fine. We came out of this game, no major injuries on Monday night, and I'm very excited about that. And right now it's advantage Ravens in every category. I don't see how Philly can run with this unless Vic comes back to true form and he throws a 303 touchdown game and our defense looks flat. I don't see us beating them. I don't see the Eagles beating us.
Yeah, I don't see the defense looking flat. I think that this is – we've got a very strong team against a beaten-up team. And, again, I'm going to bring up this Goob Vision video. Of course, you can find it on YouTube. Goob Vision is how you probably look it up. But the last 4 years, the Eagles, when they have their home opener, they've lost the game, and the team has gone on to the Super Bowl. So I like those odds right there. I like the luck kind of put in there for the Ravens, even though I don't think the Ravens need it, because they've got enough talent right now to beat the Eagles. I like those odds though, because that sounds pretty cool for us at the end of the year. But I let's see, number wise, I'm thinking it's going to be like 32-14 Ravens, and I want to see the Ravens win. And I think the big thing is when they're going to Tennessee, there was a loss there. I think a lot of it has to do with traveling. And with Philadelphia being so close to Baltimore, you really don't have to worry about like jet lag or people getting sick on the plane or anything like that. It's just a train ride up. And those guys are already in Philadelphia. So it's a quick train ride up. It's easy. You can go there in an hour or two. And right now they're probably sitting at Pat's or Geno's eating a cheesesteak getting ready for tomorrow. So I like our odds here.
I like the odds too, but hey, I'll take a good old crab cake from the harbor over a Geno's cheesesteak. Although I have had a cheesesteak from there, they're pretty good. I'm telling you.
Who do you like better, Geno's or Pat's?
I couldn't tell you the difference, honestly. I've only had Geno's myself personally, never had Pat's, but I would ask the locals what they think. How we pick our spots down at the harbor, pick our restaurants, same thing. They're going to tell you one thing or another based on preference. But I really hope that we're eating some form of victory food coming out of this game, whether it's a cheesesteak, a crab cake. I don't care. Just sprinkle Old Bay on it because I feel a victory come Sunday.
That feels real good, man. You're going to have to keep me posted. I have to work. I volunteered to do a little extra work this week during the game because just me again. I'm not letting Michael Vick on my TV. So I'm not going to be watching the game. What's that?
Watch the game at all?
I'm not watching the game because I don't like to see Michael Vick anywhere on my screen. So
I'm the same way. Hey, it's like me not eating Heinz ketchup for Steeler Week or any football season for that matter. I don't you know how my hatred for Pittsburgh, so I'm the same way. So I love the passion. I like to share that.
Yeah. But you'll have to keep me updated. Let me know what's going on. And next week, man, this is going to be all you talking about the game. I'm sure I'll see some highlights, but other than that, I'm not going to see that much. I think personally, I feel like I can see into the future, and I feel pretty confident that the Ravens are going to have. I think it'll be a tough game, but I think they're going to come out with a W.
I think so too. You know, not looking ahead, but it's a treat to see that game on the schedule, the revenge game, Sunday Night Football in our house, and you know, we'll get on that next week. I have a lot of good treats for that game, setting that stage up for that. It's going to be great. The eyes are going to be us again in prime time, but let's focus on 1 o'clock in Philadelphia at the Link up 95. It's going to be great. I know some friends who are going to that game, by the way. I'm not going to make the trek. I'd rather watch it here at the local, you know, at the local watering holes with the Ravens fans.
It's safer, really.
Very safer. I heard that Philly fans are actually worse than Pittsburgh fans, believe it or not. I don't know that about that theory, but it remains to be seen, I guess.
Let me tell you real quick. I haven't gone up for football or baseball or even hockey up in Philadelphia, but I've gone to my fair share of pro wrestling events up in Philadelphia, okay? There's this local group in Philadelphia, and this guy in this wheelchair was yelling at one of the wrestlers in the ring, and he's sitting in his wheelchair, and he's using a gay slur, and he keeps screaming at this one wrestler and calling him a gay slur, starts with F. And the wrestler comes up to the guy and goes, "I might be one of those, but at least I have the ability to walk," and walked away.
Oh, my God.
So they are ruthless up in Philadelphia, man.
Oh, man. Wow. That brings a whole new level. We pick apart our own team and complain even though we had a good victory. I still heard people complaining about this team. I'm like, really? Flacco has a great game, you know, 21-29. You know, 209 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. All AFC Offensive Player of the Week, and they still find something to complain about. I'm tired of that. I'm getting sick of it. But, hey, you know what? They don't matter because, you know what, we know what we're doing here, and we're gonna pick apart this team the best way we can, and we know what's going on. And I guess, like I said, unless in their perfect world they're throwing 500 yards and 4 touchdowns, I don't know what gives.
Yeah, you know, I can understand people, you know, trying to look for something to complain about, but there's really not much you can say badly about this team and what happened on Monday. I have so much confidence in this team and going forward. I'm excited to hear what's going to happen in Philadelphia, and the only thing that worries me is getting out of there without an injury. I mean, that's every game, not just because it's in Philadelphia, but every game you have to worry about that, because injury-wise, there's a lot of guys that you count on this team. But other than that, man, I'm excited, and the regular season is something that I think is going to be great, and I can't wait to talk next week about the game.
Me too, and I'm very excited. And one thing too, I wanted to, you know, I'm sorry I forgot about this. I want to kind of add a new spin on things now that the season's underway. Maybe next week we'll kind of tweak a little bit, but, you know, towards the end of the show, I kind of want to start giving out some game balls here, and I want to start off. I wanted to give out a game ball, of course, to my man Joe Flacco, AFC Honor Offensive Player of the Week. What a performance, 21-29, 299 passing yards and 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked a little few times, but he didn't really make any mistakes, didn't force any throws. I'm very impressed with that, and on the defense, game ball goes to we're going to split the football. We're going to go to Ray Lewis and Ed Reed on this one. Ray Lewis leading with 14 tackles, 11 solo, and Ed Reed with the pick six, and the NFL record return yards. What a game for these guys.
I like that, man. I like giving out the game ball. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely is, isn't it?
I dig that, man. That's great, and I totally agree with all your picks there. I'm not going to try to steal the game ball away from you at all. I like everybody you've picked so far.
But again, you know, game balls, it's kind of a fun thing to do, but you know what? It's a team effort. This is why our slogan this year's team, because it takes a team effort. It took blocking for Ray Rice, Joe Flacco. It took, you know, it takes all 11 guys on offense, all 11 guys on defense, and the special teamers. It takes the whole 53-man roster, coaches included. Again, but it's always nice to, you know, give credit where credit's due and where the stars shine, and let's have at it. And hopefully we give some good game balls come Sunday after Philadelphia.
That's what I like to hear, man. That's what I like to hear. So, of course, keep up with me and Josh on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at BrandoCash. Josh, where can they follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me at ItalianGQ52.
Awesome, man. And if you have any Ravens questions or anything like that, tweet to us. Let us know. If you like the call, please tell us, man. We need to know that people out there are listening to us. I've gotten some great feedback on other shows that are on the At Brando Cash Network. And if you'd like information about the call or any other show, go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. And hey, if you talk to us, or maybe you write an iTunes review or tweet to us and let us know that you're listening, we'll shout you out. Maybe you'll get a game ball next week. Who knows? But just let us know you're listening, and we'll have some fun with this. And I'm having a great time. So go Ravens. I'm excited, and we'll talk to you next week. Josh, I'll talk to you next week, too.
That's right. Go Ravens.
This has been a production of the At Brando Cash Network.